me some help. Because I don't know all the words. It's fill my cup, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Fill my cup.
Page 16.
I live.
Come and quench.
Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till
help me sing it. Hallelujah. I need the oil. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. So Brother Mike.
Man, in such a good mood
today. Amen.
Not only am I here, the best part about being in a battle is winning that battle. You can't win a battle unless you've been in one.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I had a real big battle this week, and here I am on the winning side again.
Right.
All I had to do is stop looking at the temporal and remind myself of the eternal. Once I did that, I knew the whole thing was over. And I had won right there and then. And I'm just happy because it's what I've learned here. Amen. And I'm just excited about winning that battle. It was a big battle for me, and here I am on the victory side of it, and I'm just excited. I'm in a really good mood.
Amen. Amen. God bless Brother Mike. A couple announcements. Just want to remind everybody for Easter we got coming up. But before I say that, I'm glad to have Pastor Moore back home.
Amen.
Glad he made it back. Got here safely, so that's awesome. But we got Easter services coming up. So this Thursday will be young people's practice. They'll be practiced at 7 o'clock,
correct?
7 o'clock. Also in the back is a sign up for the bowling so we can get a good count, head count. So when we reschedule that, there's a little sign up there for that. After service today, for about 15, 20 minutes, we're going to practice a song we have. We got it printed out there, so we'll make sure you guys remember that. But for the Easter, remember that we're going to have Saturday night service and then Sunday morning service with the meal following. So on Palm Sunday, which is April 1st and 2nd. So that's a little earlier than we normally do it. So looking forward to that. God has been moving and changing some things. but that song we were singing, Bless Me Now, you know, I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, sometimes we try to make ourselves like excuses that God can't do something right now. You know, we try to put it off in the future as like a little kind of like a little tie post, like, well, if God doesn't do it right now, I know he'll do it eventually. He'll do it eventually. He'll do it eventually. But that's not the kind of God I serve. I serve a God that, you know, when Jacob got a hold of him, he said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. You're not. Yeah, you bless me now. You know, that's the kind of God I serve. So I was looking at that. I thought sometimes we put it all off to the future, like, oh, I hope this happens. I hope this happens. No, I don't want to leave this place the same. You know, like I want God to move right now. We serve a miraculous God that can move right now. So, you know, the more I hear that, the more I think about that, the more I just go, thank God that we serve a real God. You know,
amen.
So
amen.
I wanted to sing every praise if we got time. Yeah. We got page 192, key of G. Go ahead, Brother Kevin.
It's always good to be back in the house of the Lord. You know, I was sitting there thinking about the last couple messages that Jay and Jeremiah preached. It really, you know, about why you can't go to church of your choice.
Right.
You know, I sat there thought, you know what, this is why Pastor always said you just can't go to any old church. So Jeremiah brought up, you know, why we needed a prophet. And which, you know, it clarified a lot of things for me more now. Brother Brandon was a man of God. He was.
Amen.
He used that man. He did. No matter what he was, God used him.
Amen.
And then Jay followed up with, you know, restoring the word.
Mm-hmm.
And that was beautiful because the world out there, it's lost to them.
Yeah.
They don't have it. That's
right.
Why they. That's why when they take the book, they kind of just use their own thinking on it because they don't. The prophet didn't bring it to them.
Wow.
But this bride, the bride has the word, the full
Amen.
Word, and it's like sitting there thinking, like, Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
We're blessed.
Amen.
We're blessed.
Yeah.
I just thank God for that each and every day. You appreciate it.
Amen.
When you come to this church, you think it's just any old church. This ain't just any old church.
No.
It's not. This is not just any old church.
Amen. Right.
Thank God.
Amen.
God bless you. I go to the church of my choice.
Church of my choice.
I do go to the church of my choice.
Yeah.
This is where I choose this over every church in the world.
Amen.
Thank God. And I was thinking this morning how that, you know, the flesh. I mean, Jim Becker was talking about how that, you know, the man and the woman, you know, the woman's a weaker vessel. Mm-hmm. You know, and the bride's no different, the bride of Christ. You know, we're up and down, in and out, and crying one minute, laughing the next, you know. And he's got to deal with all of it. But, you know, I also think that scripture, you know, yet he abideth faithful. You know, and as much as the devil gets you all turned around and tangled up, and time you get here, you think you're some kind of the worst hypocrite in the world.
Sure.
You know, you've failed in every which way. He comes back and he says he hadn't changed at all. You know, and his grace never fails. We as husbands, our grace might fail a little bit. We think, I've told her so many times, you know. But yet his faith, his faithfulness, his grace never changes. And when that's the importance of getting to church. Let him remind you. Let him, you know, sometimes my wife's having a bad day. I'll give her a hug and she says, I needed that. And me, I wasn't even thinking about it. I just wanted to hug her, you know. And, but, you know, that's all she needed to get past that you know, struggle and that pressure and everything. And that's all I need. Just remind me one more time how much you love me, you know. But I wanted to sing that song.
What song?
Lord, I need you now.
Lord, I need you now. We'll sing that. Lord, I need you now. More than ever, ever have
before. Amen, amen, amen.
Lord, I need you today.
You know, you're so right, Brother Jay.
Yeah.
You know, we put it, you know, Brother Bram said man's constantly looking at what he has done, looking at what he's going to do, and forever missing what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
And right now, we're gathered in the very presence of God.
Amen.
You know, don't miss it.
Don't miss it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that. Lord, I need you now.
Lord, I need you now. More than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today. Before I walk out the door, I don't want to leave this place the same. Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before.
Sing that again, amen.
Lord, I need,
you now, hello.
More than I ever have before.
Lord, I need you today.
Lord, I need you today. Before I walk out the door, I don't want to leave this place the same way I came. Before I leave, Lord, I need a change.
Amen. Sister Joanna.
Amen.
Amen.
works, because that's the song I was singing this morning before I came to church, because every time I come here, I want to get up higher. I want to change every time. That's my desire. I love this place, and I just thank God for a push to get here and for a husband who pushes to get here, because yesterday we were at Tina's party, and Dwayne drove all through the night to get here. We didn't get home till 2 in the morning. I got to sleep, but he drove. But we're missing next Sunday, and he's like, I don't want to miss 2 Sundays in a row. We need this place, and I just am thankful for a real God in this place, because it's not like it's just a church. It's just like, oh, I can go or not go. Like, this is my life. It's a life form. Like, I need this the same way I need air or water. Like, this is the most important thing. Amen. And I'm just so thankful for this place. And I'm thankful for a real God and a real desire. Yeah, and I'm just thankful that I have a receiver, because I know that's so rare. Me and Dwayne talk about all the time that we see people come and go, and it's not, I don't hold anything against them, because I know you can't make someone get this, but I'm so glad that I have it.
Right. Amen. Amen. One of them. Sister Mel, welcome back. Yeah.
I just wanted to get up and thank God for being here. I really miss you guys, but I'm away now, and it makes a big difference. I appreciate being able to listen to the services on tape. And you know that whole story about me being away, but there is nothing like being in this house.
Amen, man.
But I also wanted to just say that, you know, I love my pastor, and he brings the word, but these brothers bring the word too.
Amen.
And it's got to a point where it doesn't matter who it comes from. If it's coming from God, I'm hearing it. And it's just opening a whole nother door that says it doesn't matter which preacher is preaching. They are bringing the word upon word. And I appreciate them and the time and effort it takes for them to get ready for these services. And they do it. They do sacrifice. And, you know, I know everybody prays for them, but I want to go on record to say, let's pray for our ministers, because they do sacrifice a lot. I see it. I mean, I had this precious cargo. I didn't drive the whole time. But I had the precious cargo in the car, and I take that seriously. If that's all I can do, then that's what I want to do. And I want to be there for the pastor and our first lady. And whatever I can do to push this message forward, that's what I want to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sing page 192, Every Praise. Mel's my sister. And I remember when Mel would come into town, she'd be like, is my brother preaching? Because that's who I want to hear. So it's good to see that. Good to see that. Amen. Page 192, key of G.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, every praise is to our God.
Let's sing that again. Amen.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise is to our God.
God our Savior.
God my Savior. God my my Savior, God my Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship.
Every word of worship.
With one accord. Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Is to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise
is to our God. God my Savior. God my Savior, God my
Healer,
God my Deliverer, oh, yes He is, yes He is, God my Savior, God my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Oh, yes, He is. Yes, He. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship. Every praise,
every praise,
every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise,
every praise.
Every praise,
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 every praise
is to our God. Amen. Come on up, Sister Belinda.
Amen. God has done something for me this week.
Amen.
I will not
Amen.
Sit on my God. He has been good to me. He has shown me that Amen. He's a restorer of the word. And he has shown me that the battle is already won.
Amen.
Yes,
you
is.
Know, there's Amen. Like my brother, my dear precious brother, Joy's husband, Brother Prater.
Brother Mike, I have a yeah, memory brother recall Prater. Thing. Sometimes, you know, as you get older, you realize you can't do what you used to do. Although your desire is to do those things,
That's right.
your body just sometimes does not cooperate. You know, I had a wonderful brother come to my place, showed me, corrected me on some project that I was doing. He pulled it apart and said, you know, we got it. It's just like the word, Sister Belinda. If you start it off wrong, yep. you're going to be wrong at the end. So you got to right. get it right on the first time.
Right.
So I was like, Amen. Okay, God bless you. Amen. I'm there. I'm getting corrected. And I love that we can receive correction. I willingly take that, Brother Isaiah. Yep. I willingly take that body, Brother Moore.
Amen.
Brother James. I see the error of my ways in some things, and sometimes I'm slow to get it. But gosh Amen. Knows when you don't get it, there's a reason why. And he corrects you and he shows Amen. You. God bless you. God bless you. I'm a blessed woman today. I'm thankful the word shows me things. It shows me that I can breathe and relax.
Amen.
I don't have Amen. To struggle. Right. Unless I want to struggle. It's a choice. It's a choice. Right. You get to choose. And I thank God that I have somewhere to go on cold mornings and I can come and worship God. It was a push today. My flesh said, gosh, Sister Belinda, you can stay home. But I said, no, I can't get what I get here at home.
Right.
I could listen online, but it's just not the same. So I want to have that push. I get it here. I get peace here. I can walk in these doors. Yes. Brother Moore talks about it, and he sets the atmosphere in his personal life. He sets the atmosphere in his spiritual yes. life. And I just love God, and I thank Amen. Him for it.
Amen. God bless you, Brenda.
Amen.
Let's sing page 232. I really love the Lord, key of C. And we'll get him up.
Oh, my goodness.
I really love the Lord.
Amen.
You don't know what he's done for me.
Oh.
He gave me
the victory.
Oh, my goodness.
Just gave it to me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing that.
Yes.
No? Not there?
Done just for me.
victory. Oh, yes, I love. Oh, yes, I love him. Oh, I really love the Lord. Oh, you don't know what he's done for me. Father, we come before you this morning. Oh, we do love you, Lord. The world don't even understand what kind of love this is. It's an agape love that supersedes anything that comes across our path. We love your word, Lord, and we couldn't even explain to people why we love it so. But you've done so much for us. You brought us from a mighty long way. You've kept us. You kept us when we were up. You kept us when we were down. You made a way where there seemed to be no way. You always gave a door to allow us to escape every temptation that's been put before us. And as Brother Mike said this morning, I'm here one more time. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for our privilege to be gathered with your people, Lord. Thank you for the word that we love so much. Lord, those that are sick, ask you to send forth your word to touch them. Ask you to send your word after those lost sheep that, Lord, need to be brought back into the shelter of your arms. Ask you to help us as we move everything aside this morning. Push everything aside that you might have your way today. Lord, as a man, we can do nothing on our own. Not what really needs to be done. But Lord, only you could come in here and divide between the soul and spirit. That's what we ask you to do this morning. Speak to our hearts and help us to, Lord, just take your word in. Believe it with all of our hearts. And act upon it. Let it manifest in our lives every day that we live. Thank you for all you've done, Father. Help us in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Take these words that are laid out here, Lord, a jumbled group of notes that I might put together, but Lord, only you can take those notes and quicken them to life. We ask you to do so. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I guess this is my new friend for the Philippines. Got to get used to him. So they're doing some testing and making sure that things are ready for the trip, which is only 3 weeks away, I think. So, amen. I've already started taking things out and laying them on the bed, getting things ready for the trip. And it's a routine I go through. It's time I go. But amen, it's here now. And it's good to be able to go. You know, if you're going to do it while you're healthy, do it while you can. Because there'll come a time, if Lord tarries, that you can't do it. And I don't want to get to that point and feel like, Lord, I should have gone. No, if that's the one reason I decided I was going this time is because we moved our Easter service, and the only reason I wasn't going is I told them we couldn't come because of the Easter, but then Easter moved. Yeah. So then that gave me no excuse, but I couldn't hide. There was no rocks to hide behind. So,
So then the trip was on, and I appreciate all the effort and the prayers that are going up for the trip. So you just keep praying, because God knows what he's doing. He knows why we're going. He knows who's going to be there. He knows every bit of that. And everybody that's supposed to be there will be there. And everybody who's not supposed to be there won't. And so we're grateful for that. We're thankful for God for all that you all do on this end. Because if it wasn't for you, then I couldn't go. And so I appreciate your offering, your tithes, and your time, and your efforts, and your prayers. And I appreciate Brother Jay and Jeremiah, because they'll be handling things while I'm gone. Now, I always like to make this clear before I go on a trip, because you never know if you're coming back. So I always like to let everybody know, like Brother Childers did, next man up. Jeremiah Allen. Amen. That guy that's walking down the hall right now in the aisle perfect timing. He probably thought I should have stayed back there a little longer. but I remember when Brother Childers first started telling me I was the next man up, and I thought the Lord would come first before he turned this over to me. And that's been 27 plus years ago. 27, Dwayne? 27 years. And so next man up is Brother Jeremiah. When I first told the church that, it was a trip that we were going on, a Philippines trip, and I thought the church needs to know my mind on this, because I had already had a conversation with God about it, and I knew about it, and I thought, well, I need to let the church know. And so I did that before I went to the Philippines, and I'm doing it again, so it's on record. So if something should happen and I don't come back and Jay raises up and say, I feel led to be the pastor... Get him, deacons. But I always like to put things, I like to have things in order. And, you know, that we don't have that bickering that they have in churches. They fight over the bones of Moses. No, so Brother Childers showed us that by example. And it'd be an easier transition this time than it was last time. It really should be, because now we know how it's done. It had never been done before when Brother Childers did it. So now we should have some precedent, some type of order about the way things happen. Now, a lot of people didn't agree with Brother Childers saying I should be the next pastor, and they're no longer here. So if you don't agree that Jeremiah should be the next pastor, there's precedence for that as well. So I'd like to do that. You know, some churches don't. And sometimes the pastor has to preach till he's 80, 90 years old, old, and wore out. And I don't want to do that. I said, I don't plan on dying as a pastor. I want to get it turned over to Jeremiah at a reasonable time. And where I can do like Brother Childers did. Brother Childers was a big help to me, the greatest help to me. And I appreciate it. And I did find out that people thought that Brother Childers put that microphone there. I had a brother tell me, he said, I explained to him I had put that when I became pastor, that God told me to put that microphone there so that I can get everything from Brother Childers before he got out of here. Well, I was told by a preacher here last year, he said, well, we out there always thought that Brother Childers put that microphone there to correct anybody who preached. That's what the message world thinks. And it is so far away from the truth. So they were so afraid of Brother Childers, they thought that he was just such a mean man that he put a microphone there so he could just tell you off right while you're preaching. And they wouldn't come because they were afraid of that. And it had nothing to do with that at all. It was what God told me to do so that I could get everything that I needed from that man before he left this world. And I told him, I said, Brother Childers, that mic's there if you want to use it. Don't have to wait for service. Don't have to wait for an opening. If you got something to say, you say it. Because he did get to the place where if he didn't say it right then, he'd forget. Right. You know, it didn't start out that way, and it never starts out that way. When people look at what God's doing, it never looks like what God's doing until it's done. When Brother Childress first got that microphone there, he wasn't thinking about the fact that he was going to get to a place where he had to talk right then. And well, God knew. As Brother Adam said, God sees around corners. And so by the time Brother Childress got older, he would have to get the microphone or speak into the microphone and say what he wanted to say while he had the thought in his mind, because if he didn't, he'd lose it. And I didn't want him to lose nothing. I wanted everything he had. So I thank God for Brother Childress. He left us everything we needed. And it's the same thing, you know, it's just like Brother Branham. Brother Branham left us everything we needed. He finished his work. He did everything he was supposed to do. There was not one thing left undone. That's why when people think that Brother Branham's got to come back, it just shows they didn't get what he got. Because if they understood that he gave us everything he was supposed to, that he was ordained, people think it's man doing this. And they think man is directing us and man is thinking up this stuff and doing all these things. No, this is God's program. It's always been God's program. It's never been man's program. It's always been about God. And God uses his chosen man as long as he needs to use him. Isaiah didn't have to come back and write one more book. Say, oh, wait a minute, I forgot something. No. God used Isaiah. God used Ezekiel. He used every prophet that he ever used for the time period that he was in. And when he finished, he gave us everything we needed to do the job. And that's the thing that I love about God, is that he is the one running this thing. It's not us. You know, if we need a revelation, God gives it. He's the only giver of revelation anyway. You know, we think we're doing something when we're really not. We think we've got something when we really don't. And we think we know something when we really don't know anything. And all we do is try to pick and choose and try to pick the smartest one amongst us. And it's not even about that. It's not about the head and shoulders among the crowd. It's not about the smartest. It's not about the deepest. It's about the one that God chose. Amen. And when God chooses somebody, then everybody has to get with the chosen. It's like David. David didn't choose himself. God chose him. Matter of fact, David's father and his brothers didn't even think he was the one. But it was the very one that was after God's own heart. And so, you know, when you're looking at things, you got to look at it the way God does. And I love this because it's God's program. I will not preach any more than what I'm ordained to do. And I'll preach no less than what I'm ordained to do. You will cross no one else's path except for those that you're ordained to pass. I mean, it's not just preachers. It's the body. It's the bride body. We're running across. It's God's ministry. We don't realize how much it is God and how little it is us. We think we decide to go to that Kroger's instead of the other one. It's not that. God had needs to go by way there. And so God's doing these things, but he's got a group of people now that he can actually live in and enjoy being able to be there in his fullness. And it makes a difference. Because when you got the fullness of God in there, you're not fretty about everything. You're not worrying about, oh, maybe I'm not doing it. No. Footsteps are ordered. And God's got them, and he knows what he's doing with each one of us. And we need to understand that. That's what happens when you get the Son of Man on the scene. As you get the fullness of the Word on the scene, then we're not all fretty about everything. Oh, well, I can make it to heaven. Yes, I'm going to heaven. I come from heaven. Oh, am I living good enough? I'm living good enough for God to live in me. That's good enough for me. Do you need to get better? I can always get better. I mean, you know, so it takes all the fuss out of it. And in the message, it takes the fuss out of the message people, because they always want to fight and fuss about scriptures and getting ready for this trip. I'm getting texts and emails, and people are, you know, they're all jockeying, trying to get their points across and get their positions and their little creeds and dogmas and the things that the reasons why they split. You know, oh, we don't believe this, and they believe that, and we believe this, and they believe. I ain't worried about none of that. You put the word out there, and the word will take care of everything. And well, and if it doesn't, then it just means it wasn't for you. And I'm okay with that too. I'm not, you know, I'm not here trying to convince people that I'm right. I know I'm right. You know, I'm not trying to prove anything. It's already been proven. And when you know who you are, and in the hour of the Son of Man, you know who you are, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. That's the way Jesus walked around here. Jesus walked around here healing the sick, raising the dead, picking corn on the Sabbath, yeah. Doing all manner of evil things to them. And they thought, well, he's an awful man. No, Jesus, like, he didn't care. He's like, you know what? I only got 3.5 years. I must be about my Father's business. I got to do things that's unorthodox to get the job done. And the bride at the end time, if Jesus did things unorthodox in his day, the bride will do things unorthodox in her day. Because now you got the Son of Man on the scene. It ain't going to look like what everybody thinks it should look like. It never has been. Whenever God's done anything, it's never matched what man thinks it should be. That's why you can't waste too much time worrying about what man thinks, because man don't have it right. If they had it right, they'd be the Son of Man. So you just have to walk through this world knowing who you are. Let them say what they want. You know what they did to Jesus? They killed him. That's what Jake said Wednesday. They killed him. And if they did him, how much more will they do you? So don't think you're going to please everybody. I know I'm not going to please everybody when I go to the Philippines. I ain't worrying about it. Either you want to come and hear me or you don't. And if you're going to come, it's not even going to be an argument, because great is a mystery of godliness and without controversy. Amen. You know, it's not even, I'm not even going to debate. You know, I had a brother tell me, he said, no offense, Brother Moore, but you know that the spirit has moved from the United States now, and y'all need somebody to come and preach to y'all. I thought, amen. That's good. That works. Bring it on. But he said, but you know, because God, Brother Branham mentioned the Philippines as a place God was going to move to and do some things. But see, you got to tie everything together. He said, well, God's moved from the United States, and now it's over here in the Philippines, and now we need to preach to y'all. And I'm like, that's not quite balanced. Because you can't preach any more to me than what the prophet brought. And the prophet was, he was born and raised, and he was born in a state below me and raised in a state next to me. So you say, well, we got more than, you know what? If you got more, God, I pray that you do. Because then that means you should be burning this place out. Amen. Not separating. No. Not dividing. Because see, that's the spirit I see with people. They're always dividing, biting, and dividing, dividing, and biting. And they say, oh, well, maybe you're going to come over here to straighten them out. No, I'm not coming over to straighten anybody out. I'm going over to the fellowship. Amen. That's what Brother Childers told me last trip to Africa. Yeah. If ever you go again, Brother Moore, God told me to tell you.
Amen.
That you're going to fellowship.
That's right.
Not trying to break them, change them, fix them, match them. It took such a load off me. It took such a load off me because I was thinking Brother Childers was aging, and I thought, nobody knows what this is but us. Now I got to go. And he's like, no, it's not about that. If you go at all, you'll go to fellowship. And that's all I'm doing. And it takes the fuss and worry out. I'll do what I can, and what I can't do, it's not for me to do. That makes trips a whole lot better, Jay. So I'm getting ready to go, and I know there's some that's going to be there that's going to want to be controversial, but that's okay. You know, I'll agree with my adversary quickly. That's what he's there for. He's the quickener. If he doesn't quicken it, it won't happen anyway. So all the stumping and snorting I do won't do a thing. If he doesn't get a hold of it, then it won't happen. Now, that goes right into my message. Now, I want to go over to Matthew. I enjoyed last Sunday service with Jeremiah, and I enjoyed Wednesday night service with Brother Jay, and it got me all pumped up and ready to roll, and I got a lot to say, and I don't know how I'm going to put it, but I got it here, and it's like I when I finish, the last thing I do when I get ready for service is I put the page number on there at the bottom. So I'm in there doing my studies, and I just, after God got finished, I said, well, that's it. So I went to put the page number, it went into 19. I said, oh, no, there's no way. We're not doing that. I'm supposed to be practicing for short messages for the Philippines, and they said I blew it the last time I went to Brother Peterson. So I'll try to shorten them. I might not get where I need to go, but I want to get there. But to start with today, I really enjoyed the services and on restoration and just the whole message, why we needed a prophet. I love that because, you know, that's really why we're here. You know, why we're not a denomination is one way Brother Branham put it. He said, we're not a denomination. But then I thought about what Jeremiah was bringing, and I was turned on about what Jay said, and then turned on again by Jeremiah's closing. And I thought, okay, let's go. So if you turn me over to Matthew chapter 3, I've got some reading here that I want to read, and I guess I'll read it. I sometimes try to jump down and just to get to the point, but reading the Bible is never a bad thing. So I want to go over to Matthew chapter 3, and this is talking about John the Baptist. I want to start there talking about him. We don't talk about John the Baptist too much, so this is a good place to start. And that's why I want to read the whole thing, because if you just take a scripture out of there, you'll miss who John really is. In those days came John the Baptist, verse 1, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, maketh path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all that reign around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children of Abraham. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. This is John the Baptist, and I titled this message, The Baptism for Today. And I wanted to start here with John, because I thought, John the Baptist, that's what they called him, that's his name. He was the Baptist because he baptized. But the funny thing about it is John did his job in baptizing, but John was an unknown. Brother Branham said his father was a minister, but John didn't go to the school that his daddy went to. He went out in the wilderness. And the thing about a man of God is God will take him and educate him the way he wants him educated, when, where, and how.
Amen.
And it won't be something that he's caked up, brought up, put together by some man. It's going to be literally God taking everything, because whenever God uses you, before God can use you, he's got to empty you.
Right.
I mean, whether it's John, whether it's Moses, whether it's you, whether it's me, before God can use you, he's got to empty you. He's got, because we've all come, and a lot of people think because they were born and raised in the message that they don't have creeds. You're full of creeds. And God's got to get all that junk out of you before he can use you. Because in man's thinking, all he wants to do is compete and wants to be the best and wants to be better than somebody else. You know, it says, I may not be the best, but as long as I'm better than you, I'm okay. You know, no, that's not the way this works. We have all sinned. See, whenever God deals with us, he makes it a level playing field. So you don't have big shots and little shots. And Melanie said she had some precious cargo. We're all precious cargo. You know, the preachers, the singers, the musicians, the church cleaners, the grass cutters, every bit of us, we're all God's children. And the only difference between you and me right now is you're sitting down there and I'm up here. That's the job. That's the difference. And you say, well, you're ordained to do so. You're a pastor. You're ordained to lead us through. Yeah, that's my job. That's what God's. But that was God's choosing, not mine. I didn't apply for this job. I didn't ask for this. God just did it. That's the way God. You didn't ask to be here. God came and got you. That's the way he does things. And so there's none of us there here that are better than anybody else. I always get so mad about people who actually think they live good. They actually think they're a good liver. And they could be. And they were. So were the Sadducees and Pharisees. But John called them vipers. And the thing is, they were snake in the grass. They didn't have no God about them. The only reason they came around the church was to cause problems. And that's what people do. Why don't they just go away? People can't ever just go away. They always got to tear down everything they're doing. So here John was trying to do the will of the Lord, called man of God, and here comes the church people. He done better not have any Sadducees or Pharisees with him. But anyway, that was John. Now, Brother Branham said he went out in the wilderness and he waited on God until the Lord told him, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining. He's the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. His ministry was too important to get education. Certainly it was. He had to have the power of God. Now, if you got your education plus the power of God, wonderful. But if you don't put the education above the power of God, see? If you can get smart, I'm not teaching ignorance. Amen. I'm not telling you not to get an education. Matter of fact, I told all the young people they need to, because you need an education in order to have income. If you don't have income, then you're going to have one or two jobs to make yourself a livelihood. And it doesn't make you unchristianized. It just makes you have to work harder. Yes. It's funny how the more education you get, the less work you do. That's why they get it. And they get so educated that they don't have to get up out of their office. They don't have to get up out of their desk. They'll tell somebody to come and they'll come. Tell somebody to go and they'll go. If you don't have the education, you're the one coming and going. But that's okay. But if you can understand, if you can put your education behind God, then that's good. But if you get so smart that your education takes you away from God, then that's of Satan. Anything that takes you away from the Word of God is Satan. John was a man of God. He knew his place. He knew his role. But remember, there was two different baptisms coming. John had a baptism, but he said, the one that's coming after me, he's got a different baptism. And the thing about it, you got to understand the baptism for the day that you're living in. Until Jesus came on the scene, all they could get was John's baptism. And when now, and if they got that baptism, that was enough. See, God never requires any more of you than what he gives you. See, people get all concerned about what you don't know. Don't worry about what you don't know, church. It's not required about what you don't know. God is requiring you to do what he gives you. If God gives you one revelation, that's all you need. Rest on that, live on that, die on that. And if God wants to give you a second revelation, then he'll give you another one, but it won't be a different revelation. He'll build on that first revelation. So I don't care how much revelation you end up with. You might have as much as revelation as the pastor, the prophet, or whoever you want. Get all that revelation you want, but it doesn't make you any closer to God than the man that only has one. That's what messes us up in this message. We get knowledge, and we think knowledge is revelation. John the Baptist had a water baptism. That's all he knew, and that's all that was required. God didn't ask him to go to the upper room. God didn't ask him to go down to Cornelius' house. God didn't ask him to do anything. He just had a water baptism. That's all he knew. And that's the thing I love about it, is that God only requires of you what he gives you.
Yes.
I mean, it's always been that way.
That's right.
It's never been God asking for any more than what he was going to give you to give to yourself. And it's been God giving all the way through. People think they're getting this. You're not getting this. God gives it to you. And it's been that way. It's been that way all through every age. It's never been man's wisdom. It's never been man's doing. It's been God revealing himself. So you can't even take credit for the revelation that you have.
Amen.
That's what burns me up, is people think they're actually doing something. But you cannot take credit for revelation, because there's only one giver of revelation. That's God himself. If all the revelation you get is go baptize somebody in water, God will hold you accountable for that and that alone.
Amen.
He ain't going to ask John the Baptist what was wrong with him and why didn't he go to the upper room. It wasn't for him. All he had was one revelation, and that was, I am the messenger that's going to be before the Messiah. And I'm going to baptize you with water, but there's another baptism coming that's going to be better than what I can do for you.
That's right.
That's all he knew. That's all he built his life upon. That was John for you.
Amen.
He wasn't afraid of the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Come on, church. You don't need to be afraid of nobody.
Come on.
I don't care if you only got one revelation. You don't need to be afraid of anybody.
Amen.
You stand on that one revelation. Brother Branham said, drive your stake and stay right there.
Amen.
You say, I don't know a lot. You don't have to know a lot. If you know what God has shown you, that's all you need to know. And you can stand as strong on that as the prophet did on all the revelations he got from the angel. Because that one revelation is enough to get you home. See, and we get bogged down by information. We'll look at a brother or sister in the church, and they're so revelated. And you think, man, I can't do that. I can't preach like that. I can't sing like that. I can't revelation. No, but all I know is God told me this is right. That's all it takes.
Amen.
Hattie Wright, she didn't have to have the whole quote. All she said is, that is nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. That is enough to turn God on. All you got to say is, nothing but the truth. John the Baptist had one thing to do. That was water baptism. And that water baptism wasn't even enough to give life.
No.
He was just trying to get them to repent. Trying to get them to look forward to what was coming. Trying to get them to turn around. John knew he wasn't doing the job. He knew that he would do it just enough to get by.
That's right.
But you know what? That was all that was required of John.
That's right.
God didn't expect any more out of him. Matter of fact, when Jesus met John, John was like, hey, I need to be baptized in you. Jesus said, no, John, that ain't my job. That's your job.
Right.
The sacrifice has to be washed. It's your job, John. That's all you need to do is baptize me. That's all that's required of you. Don't come talking to me about gifts. Don't come talking to me about signs and wonders. Don't talk to me about anything else. Just dunk me, John. Just baptize me. That's all that God's required of you. See, if you do what God's required of you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It may not be the whole thing. You may not have the whole thing, but all you got is one little scripture, one little thing that you're living on. But do you realize that that one little scripture John was living on was what he was raised up for?
Yes.
He was here to wash the sacrifice.
Yes. Right.
All those other baptisms were okay.
Yes.
But there was only one that really counted.
Right.
When Jesus stepped out there into his cousin, he said, cousin, John looked at him and said, oh, my goodness, because here comes the dove. Here he is. This is my only begotten son. And when John saw all that, John knew, and just think about it. John was with God in the wilderness. God dealt with him. God taught him. God trained him. God brought him there to the river. God did all these things for him. Jesus standing right before him and told him, I'm the one that needs to be washed. I'm the one you're talking about. And here comes a dove from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And here Jesus is standing there. John's standing there. Do you realize John still doubted? When John got locked in jail, it got a little scary. He said, now I know I'm supposed to be the one to introduce him. But Jesus, are you the one?
Yeah.
You sure now? And Jesus, what did he use? He used a word to confirm.
That's right.
To telling the blind have been healed. The blind have their eyes open. The sick are being healed. You know, everything that Isaiah said about me is happening. So don't worry about John. You got the right man.
Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 19. Just to jump on down, reading verse 4. Then said Paul, because Paul was over there talking to him. He was battling with the church people again and talking about him, talking to him. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. This is Christ. This is on Jesus Christ. Here Paul was. And over in verse 3, he asked him, he said, oh, let me just read it. See, I can't skip nothing. I'm trying to hurry, but let me just read verse 1. And it came to pass, because otherwise you won't understand the story. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? This is a different ghost.
Yeah, right.
And they said unto him, we have not much heard whether there be any of Holy Ghost. And he asked, now see, this is where you start, when you're talking to people, you can find out where they're at.
Yeah.
You say, have you heard about the prophet? We don't know what prophet. Do you realize the church world is not looking for a prophet in this day? So if they're not looking for a prophet, that's all you need to ask them. They tell you everything they need to know. Paul didn't have to preach to them all day. All he asked him was one question. He just asked him one question. It says, how are you baptized? What then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now, here are good Ephesians, good people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had followed the word as far as they could.
That's right.
But all they knew was John's baptism.
Right.
Well, they had to move further on.
Amen.
You have to see, that's the thing about serving God. You can't stand still with serving God.
Amen.
Because God's not going to stand still.
That's right.
He's a moving God.
Yep.
He's a God that's on the go. He's a God that has some purpose about him. He's about functioning and doing something to make something happen. And here they were at what? As far as they could with the written word. We don't know if there is a baptism. What baptism? We're baptized under John.
Right.
We believe everything that John taught us.
Yeah.
There's people that believe everything that Malachi 4 taught them. They went as far as the written word as they could go. And they got as much education and as much knowledge as they could. They were good Ephesians. They were good people. Matter of fact, they were actually believers. But the thing about it, see, it's not so much of where you come from, but where you're going. Oh, when I come from the apostolic church, I wasn't playing church in the apostolic church. I was serious. I was a good apostolic. I did everything that I knew to do. But when I come here and Brother Childers looked at me and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
That's right. Oh, amen.
And I said, oh, I've already got it. Hallelujah. I spoke in tongues. I've done the best I could do. I'm living good. I'm doing these good things. I'm trying to be a good Christian. Brother Childers looked at me because he asked me that just that one question. I've been baptized under John's baptism. That's all I could get to. And it's because that's all I knew. And see, the thing about a believer, until you hear the word of God, you'll never take another step.
That's right.
A believer will go as far as they can until God shows them the next step.
Right.
I did everything I could as an apostolic until God brought me to a next step. And when I got here, I found out that I was just believing unto.
Right.
And when I come here, people were still debating over the fact that they got their birth out there in Pentecost and trying to bring their birth over here. But I come to find out that you can't have a birth in two ages.
Right.
They can't have been born under John the Baptist and been born under Jesus Christ at the same time. They were just believing unto.
Right.
And when I was an apostolic, I was believing unto. And when you were Baptist or Methodist or Pentecost or Catholic or wherever you come from, you were believing unto. And you did the best you could with what you had until God showed you more. That's the way it's always been. We could only walk as far as God shows us. And we weren't playing church. See, a lot of people don't understand. We've always been believers. We've always believed, but just didn't know what to believe. And then when God reveals it, then you step out and say, of course, this makes sense to me. Of course, this is God. Of course. So you walk in the light. See, you're here today because you've walked in the light.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You're following the word of the hour because this is far as you can go until you got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Was the kid. And it walked you, and your love for God walked you right into these doors.
Amen.
You had a love for God when you were apostolic.
That's right.
You had a love for God when you're out there in the world.
Right.
You knew there was something different about you.
Amen.
You knew that you were different than everybody else. And you couldn't settle for the worms that they had out there. So you kept looking. You kept looking. You kept looking. And you kept looking because there was a deep calling to the deep inside.
That's
right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, some people get satisfied with worms. They get satisfied with apostolic.
Yeah.
They get satisfied with Methodist churches.
Right.
Just settle down. Nobody knows what it is. Oh, yes, we do.
That's right.
You know what? I stopped looking, but I stopped looking when I found it.
Amen.
I kept on searching, as that song says, till I found him. And when I found him, my hunger and thirst to go out here and look for him some more, it's gone. I gave all that up because I found that pearl of great price.
Yes.
I've come to the knowledge of where God really is. When they were looking back then, those disciples, the Ephesian disciples, they had walked as far as they could with John, but there was still a hunger and thirst in them, or they never would have moved any further. But they had another baptism that they had to find out about.
Yes.
Not so much being baptized under John, but they needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen.
Brother Branham said the good people of Ephesus had heard about the coming Messiah. John had preached him. They were baptized unto repentance of sins, looking forward to believing on Jesus. But now it was time to look back to Jesus and be baptized unto remission of sins. It was time to receive the Holy Ghost. And when they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul laid his hands on them and the Holy Ghost came and fell upon them. All those dear folks of Ephesus were fine people. And if anyone had a right to feel secure, they did. Because they were with John. They believed John's message. Notice how far they had come. They had come all the way up to accepting the coming Messiah. They were ready for him. But don't you see that in spite of that, they had missed him. He had come and gone, and they needed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Think about these people. They believed John's message. But the one that John talked about, they missed. The church world, they're full of people who believe a message.
Right, right.
But the baptism that John talked about, they didn't even know Jesus was alive.
That's right, right.
They didn't know he had come, lived, crucified, died, resurrected, gone to heaven, come back to the Holy Spirit, and revealing himself. They didn't know none of that, though they were good Ephesians.
Right.
Right. You can be a good churchgoer. You can be a clean liver. You can have a lot of things going right for you. You can love God in your own way. Because, see, there's a lot of people love God, but they love him with a filial love.
Right.
You can love God in your own way. But unless you have the word, you'll miss God.
Amen.
As good as you might be, you'll miss God. Amen. As good as people are, they're missing God. Matthew 17, verse 10, and the disciples ask him, saying, why then said the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you, that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. God can come into your presence. If you don't know his word, you will miss him. Good people, clean people, people who want to serve God, they're doing this under the guise of looking for God. But if you don't know the word of God, you don't even know it when God comes in your face. That's why you need a prophet. That's why you need the word. That's why we have Bible study. You need to understand the word of God. You need to know what you're looking at. You need to know why we're not a denomination.
Right.
Why we're in a church separated from us. Why people don't like us. You need to know these things. You need to know why you're called to this.
Amen.
What makes us different than the rest of the world?
Amen.
And John came so simple that people they overlooked him.
Right.
He didn't come from a seminary. He didn't come from his dad's college. He didn't come from the Pharaoh's house. Pilate's house, he comes from the wilderness. Isn't it funny how God always pulls somebody out of nowhere?
Amen.
He pulls the people that nobody is even looking at.
Amen.
The ones that nobody even thinks about. They don't. They care so little about you that they just look over you. You couldn't be God.
Amen.
There's no way that God could be veiled in such a simple way.
Amen.
It's always been that way, people.
Amen.
People are always looking for God to come some big old storm, some big old sound. They're looking for God in this big old way, but he comes in a still small voice. They look for God to come and force them to do something. And God's not going to force you to do anything.
Amen.
Everybody who's ever served God served him because they wanted to serve God.
Yeah.
Everybody who loved God just loves God.
Yeah.
And they look at the ones who are serving God, and because they don't come in some big fancy format, they look at them and say that God's not even there. John come out of the wilderness with a piece of skin across him. Spitting and snorting and calling them snakes and vipers.
Yeah.
You know why I call them snakes and vipers? That's what he lived with.
Amen.
He knew what those were. He knew how they can be poisonous. He knew the types and shadows. He knew what he was calling them.
Amen.
Then when Jesus come, he didn't come through the seminary. He came so simple. So simple. God always comes in simplicity. Oh, the base things, the things that the wise people can't get it. They don't. It's too shallow for them. It's not enough for them. But Jesus come in such a simple way. His birth was such a simple birth. His in a barn, laid him in a barn. Here the palace was way over here. God should have used the palace, but God used a barn. Put him out there where the animals were. Didn't even have a hotel room. God didn't even want him to be born in a hotel. He said, I want you as low as can go. And then the only ones that's going to come to see you are the called and the elected. Because unless God shows you who he is, you can never come to him. Pilate didn't come. Pharaoh didn't come. Shepherds came. The common man came. The three or five or ten wise men came. All of those people were spoken to by God.
Amen.
The shepherds were in the field and God called them. The wise men were in the field and God called them. God didn't go to Jerusalem. God didn't talk to Pharaoh. God didn't talk to the high priest. He came to the lowly and the meek and the humble. He came to somebody who could pick him up. Everybody looks at the elect like they're not worthy. They look at us like we're not good enough. They look at us like we don't live good enough, that we don't have enough, we're not smart enough, we don't know enough. But here, right in the midst of them, God is dwelling in human flesh, and they can't even see it. And it's in such a simple form. It's so simple that man can be, it just, man looks right over it. They missed him. Jesus told him over in St. John 16, verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he won't speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. That's the job of the, that's that new baptism that John was talking about. The Holy Ghost of fire. When the Spirit of God comes, all the Holy Ghost is doing is quickening the word. That's it. That's all this. People got the Holy Ghost doing all kinds of things. They got, I'm dropping this, picking up that. The Holy Ghost is going to make you do this. Holy Ghost is not going to make you do anything. The Holy Ghost has quickened the word to you. And if you change anything about you at all, it's because the word says. Not because the Holy Ghost has got your arm twisted behind your back saying you better. The Holy Ghost is a quickening power of God. That's what it's there to do. You say, well, I didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. Well, that wasn't his fault. He's a quickener of the word. That's what he does. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. He never said the Holy Ghost is going to do all this stuff. People got a whole list of stuff the Holy Ghost is going to do. It's going to make you do this. It's going to make you do that. It's make you drop this. Make you drop that. The Holy Ghost ain't going to make you drop nothing. If you drop it, it's because the word says drop it. You've heard the word, it was quicker to you, and you decided, I want that. And I want to go that route. That's the way it works. But the Holy Ghost ain't following you home saying, okay, come on, I'm going to make you do it. No. You know what God does? He changes your desire. He changes the actual desire. You have a desire for something, God will change that, tweak that desire. And you won't want it anymore. God will clean your life up, not because the Holy Ghost is making you, oh, the Holy Ghost is cleaning me up. No. You're looking at the word. The word says, and the word says this, and you say, you know what? I want to match the word. I want that in my life. And because you are a son, he will do that for you. Brother Brown said, it's too bad that we ever got away from the real leader that God left us in the church. He never sent us state presbyters. He never sent bishops, cardinals, priests, popes. He sent the Holy Ghost for the church, to lead the church. When he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will lead and guide you in all truth to reveal these things unto you. That I've told you, bring them to your remembrance and will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will do that. Now, the modern church hates that. They don't like it. So how can she be the bride of Christ? The people of today is choosing a modern denomination. What it does, it only reflects the poor understanding of the word.
That's right.
When you take denominational thinking over top of the word of God, it just shows you have a poor understanding. When people look at you and they don't see God, they have a poor understanding. When people are misunderstanding you, they have a poor understanding. They're trying to get God to do something that God never even said he's going to do. And God's been using that Holy Ghost for the last 2,000 years. This ain't something new. And it's been, he's been always, and I woke up this morning and first thing come to my mind, I thought, you know, and this is a good thought, just think on this a little bit. When I woke up, it's come to my mind, I said, the Holy Ghost is the one that's responsible for quickening the word for every age. And he only gave so much word for every age. So for the word to go in, he had to only give them a little portion of the word. It wasn't that Satan was destroying the word out. God only allotted a little bit of word for that period. I mean, it's like John the Baptist. John the Baptist, all he had to do, all he could do was baptize. There was a whole lot more word than what John was preaching.
Right. That's right. Yes. Right.
But John wasn't required to preach it all. All he had to do was that one little thing, one little thing, right. One little thing. And so to fall away from the word is the absence of understanding.
That's right. Amen.
I thought about that this morning. I said, it wasn't so much that the church world, that the church turned down the word. It only had a little bit to work with. That's what darkness is. Don just said darkness is the absence of light. So it wasn't that Satan was stealing the word from the bride. The bride only had so much word to work with. So anytime when God, so the falling away was God not giving the amount of revelation that Paul had.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. Irenaeus had less revelation than Paul.
Amen.
It wasn't that Irenaeus turned down some revelation. Yeah. It was that God only allowed so much revelation right. Because the word was going in.
Right.
See, there, and God used them in the little space that they were supposed to do the word. So it's been God quickening the word in every age.
Right. Yes.
But as Paul had all word, Irenaeus, he only got what God revealed to him, which wasn't as much as what God revealed to Paul.
Right.
So it wasn't that Irenaeus was turning down Paul's word. No. It just wasn't available.
Right.
The believer always steps on all the word that he can get. If Brother Branham said, if Martin would be here today, if Luther was here today, he would be right where we're at.
Yes.
The reason he wasn't where we're at, because that's all the word that was allotted. John the Baptist only had a little bit, so small of the, could you just think about it?
Yeah.
That's all John had. There's a Messiah coming, and he's going to baptize you with fire. That was his entire message. But that was all that was required for John for his day. So in every age,
yes.
God sent the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In every age, the quickening power was here.
Yes.
In every age, the believers are always quickened to the word of God.
That's right.
But there wasn't always full word available
right.
For them to have quickened.
Right. Amen.
In Matthew chapter 16, well-known verse. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are Simon. See, this was Peter. And Jesus got turned on because Peter got a revelation.
Yeah.
And Peter, I got to read it. We know it. But verse 13, Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? See, if you ask the right question, you can find out where people are. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom do you say that I am? Let's not worry about everybody else. Let me ask you personally. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood, man, hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church.
Amen.
Upon the revelation that I'm giving them is how I'm going to build my church. Oh, he already knew that the seed had to go in the ground. But he also knew that every age had to have a revelation. And the revelation is the new birth.
Amen. Amen.
Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You look at the seven church ages and you think Satan was just battling. No. Oh, no. That wasn't just Satan battling. Satan's in there, right. But it wasn't Satan battling them. That's the bride of Jesus Christ standing on the revelation of the hour. They believe the word. It was just the word of God to them. It wasn't even a real fight.
No.
Brother Branham said they wish they had more lives to give than one.
That's right.
In the hour that you live in, the bride of Jesus Christ always is quickened to the word of God.
Yes. Every day.
She steps out on the word no matter whether it's a little or a lot. That's why it's not how much you know.
Right.
It's what God's revealed to you.
Yes.
Because he's the only revealer of the word. And he's been doing it the whole way through.
Amen.
He's been building this church for 2,000 years. So in order for the word to go in, God stopped quickening 100% to the church. He allotted it. He broke it up because he knew. He said a seed has to go in the ground because it has to go in order to come back out to get the full body. So what he did was he pulled. Now, Paul had it all. He had the fullness. And Paul knew what he was doing. So when Irenaeus come on the scene, he wasn't denying Paul.
No.
He just only had the amount of word that God allowed it for him.
Yes.
Brother Branham said when he chose those messengers, looked for the man that closely represented Paul. Not the one who had it right. Not the one that turned things down. None of the messengers turned down the word.
Right. Amen.
They just didn't have it.
Yeah.
Luther was a Trinitarian because he didn't understand the Godhead.
That's right.
That's what made him a Trinitarian. He didn't know any better.
That's right.
But if God would have revealed to Luther the Godhead like he's revealed to us, he'd have been right where we are with the revelation.
Amen.
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 Now, if you want to take Matthew 16:18, Jesus said himself, the entire church, his church would be built upon spiritual revelation of himself, which is the word. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and flesh and blood never revealed unto you, but my Father which is heaven have revealed it in you. Now I know our Catholic friends there, you say it's built upon Peter. And Peter, the apostolic, so in the apostolic consent succession, he's in apostolic succession. The Protestant says it was built upon Jesus Christ. Not to be different, but take just what he said. He said, flesh and blood is not revealed to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, spiritual revelation of what the word is. I start to understand what Brother Branham's talking about. Spiritual revelation of what the word is. Whether it's a little or a lot, that's why you don't have to worry about how much you know.
Amen.
If God is revealing himself to you, this church was built on spiritual revelation of what the word is.
Right.
That's all you need. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will never shake it down. His wife will not be tempted with other men. I'll build my church and the gates of hell will never shake it.
Right.
God has built the entire thing upon the word. Whether it's a little or a lot, whether you've only been here a week.
Right.
Sister Beth and the kids are about the newest people in here.
Right.
If the rapture should happen this afternoon between services, they got enough right now to get the job done. Because God's not, he's not worried about what you don't know.
No.
He's the one that's responsible for quickening the word.
Amen.
And when God gives you a little word, jump on that word.
Amen.
When he gives you more word, jump on that word. And the bride's done that all the way down to the ages.
Amen.
The reason we can accept the full revelation is because that's all that's available to us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The baptism for today. The baptism was here and every day.
Right. Yeah.
It was available in every day.
Yeah.
But how much of the word was available was all dependent on how much God wanted to quicken.
Amen.
We get mad because we don't understand something. You can't even get mad if you don't understand something because it's not your job to quicken it. If God doesn't quicken it, it won't be quickened.
Amen.
That's where Brother Locke said, that's the job of the Holy Ghost. That is the job of the Holy Ghost, to quicken the word.
Yes.
And if the only thing it does is quicken one word to you, then maybe you're just a 20-watt bulb.
Sure.
But 20-watt bulbs is fine.
Yeah.
You don't throw them out because they're 20-watt bulbs. You use them where you can use them.
Right.
You may not need a 100-watt bulb in the basement.
Right.
You might just need enough light to get around.
Yeah.
Use the 20. It's just as good as the 100. See, if God only needs to use you for something small, something short, don't think you're not usable. He still can use you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Every bit of it is His own doing. You can't give a revelation. You can't even get mad. I can't get mad if you don't get it. I can't. I can preach it the best I can. I'll try to study. I'll do my thing. I'll on and on and on. But if God doesn't give it to you, you can't get it. How can you hear except to be preached? I got to preach it. That's my job. But I'm preaching to he that has an ear. If you don't have an ear, I'm sorry. I can't do nothing for you. People got it wrong. They think we got to make people believe. We got to force this thing. And that's why we fight each other and fuss and argue and fuss and fight. But if God doesn't reveal it, then it's not for you. It's just that simple. When I go out here to the Philippines, I'm not going out here to convert people. I'm going to share my knowledge of the mystery. If it helps you, fine. If it doesn't, fine. I spend my money, not yours. You aren't out of dime. Don't worry about it. You say, well, don't lose no sleep over it. You say, well, that man's crazy. Yes, I am. Leave me alone. I can't help what God showed me. I didn't ask for this. He gave it to me. He revealed this to me. You say, well, your church is crazy. We can't help it. We can't help it that God's preaching to us and revealing himself to us and making himself known. And people come through those doors and can't get it. And you think it'd be just so simple that everybody can get it. It's only simple because you're ordained to get it. If they're not ordained to get it, they can't get it. Jesus said, why can't you hear my speech? Even because you don't have any place in you. I thank God that I have a place in me to receive the word of God. Oh, your husband might not want it. Your wife might not want it. Your kids might not want it. But I thank God that I have it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul got us over here in 2 Thessalonians. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there be come a great falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, that son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he is as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Paul knew that wasn't happening then. He knew the word was only allotted for a certain time.
Right.
And he knew that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's going to be here the whole time.
Right.
But there's going to be a falling away of the word.
Yeah.
The people didn't fall away, not the elect.
No.
The word fell away. The revelation that was available to the bride body fell away.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, you said, well, all these other people fell away. Yeah, they fell away. But they were in a bride. The bride, God lost none. He lost not one. The elect bride was the bride all the way through. He was never concerned. Matter of fact, he knows how much revelation you're going to get today. He knows how much you're going to get before your body change. He knows exactly what he's doing with you. His word was allotted for every age. I thought about that quote this morning. I don't have it with me, but Brother Branham said in the church age book, he said, little bride, don't worry. But one thing we must understand about revelation, that God has it allotted for every time and in its season. And he's got just the right word for the day that it's going to be manifested.
Yes, sir.
So if he had to have the word go in, he had to give them less revelation.
Yes.
You say, why would God give them less revelation? Jesus answered that. Except the corn of wheat go on the ground, it abideth alone.
Right.
It wasn't just the groom that had to go on the ground.
Right.
It was the bride that had to go on the ground.
Right.
And what gave us our life was a revelation.
Amen.
If you have little revelation, you don't have a lot to fight with. That's why they fell for everything. That's why they ended up in three gods.
Right.
It wasn't Luther's fault that they were Trinitarians. That happened in Rome, 325 AD.
Right.
By the time Luther got on the scene, everybody believed in three gods.
Right.
Matter of fact, there was only three to them.
Yeah.
It wasn't even an option for one God.
Yeah.
And God couldn't quicken three gods.
No.
So Luther, looking in the Word of God, he found one scripture.
Right.
By God giving it to him. God said, Luther, just like I did John the Baptist, I'm going to give you one thing to do.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
That Trinitarian smoking, cussing preacher,
beer
drinking, cussing preacher, took that one scripture and beat the devil's head in with it.
Yes, sir.
Even though he didn't have nothing else right.
Right.
It started bringing it back alive to a body, but it was because God, the Holy Ghost, revealed a little bit more light to him. You say, the just shall live by faith. That's not a lot of scripture. You realize. Do you realize how little word they had? Do you realize how little bit God had to work with?
Right.
Little light, dark place.
It's a dark world out there. In the middle of the dark ages, God come out with a little 20-watt bulb and said, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
And that was enough to get the light growing in the whole entire church.
Amen.
But that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Only allotted a little bit of light for that day.
Yes.
But it was still him. Paul said there had to come a great falling away.
Right.
That has to come first. And he said that man of sin had to be revealed. Do you know the man of sin was not revealed until this day?
Right. Amen.
Paul prophesied and he knew that this great falling away has to happen. And then when it's all said and done, that man of sin had to be revealed. But the man of sin was not revealed until our prophet came.
Amen.
Yes.
Nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
But we know who he is. Brother Branham said 2,000 years. It went all right for about 300 years. And they had a council meeting one time at Nicaea, Rome. And they went and wanted to inject something. Then after Martin Luther, another angel of God brought forth the message. Then they had another injection. And then after John Wesley, they had another injection. And they just so forth a council meeting until they got to this place, until the church had become hybrid by ethics of men's teaching, and there's a great falling away now. We're here, church. You can't tell them that they don't have the light. You can't tell they're big. Well, Lady C said, rich, increased with good. And have need of nothing. They don't need God. They can fund their own meetings. They can do their own thing. They can hold their own councils. They got all the money and all the stock, and they got everything. This turned me on when I heard Jay, I think it was. We don't have to go over there to read it. I'll just read verse 4. Joel chapter 1. That which the parmaworm have left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. He read that and I was like, man. Because that was all coming together. That God was moving. See, those insects was the black.
Right.
And when you take away revelation, man injects his thinking. Automatic darkness comes. So as God pulled back his revelation, man put in his thinking. There's your four insects right there. That's why it went in four. Jay was saying there's four took it in. Those are those four. I heard you, Jeremiah. I wasn't asleep. Good messages. This was Satan taking over the church. God was pulling back his revelation, and Satan was moving in darkness. You don't have to bring in darkness in your house at evening time. All you got to do is turn a light off. All you got to do is let the sun set. Yes. And when your sun goes down, the darkness automatically creeps in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
Now in Joel 2:28 and 30 and down, he promised, he said, what the palm worm left, the cankerworm ate, what the caterpillar left, and so forth, so and so eaten. Each one of those insects is the same insect. It changes its nature. Just as much as God is the same God. He never stopped being God. He never stopped revealing. He never stopped being over the church. It was Jesus Christ in the midst of the seven church ages all the way through. It was him all the way through. He never changed his nature.
That's right.
And neither does Satan. He said the palm worm and the caterpillar and so forth, it's different stages of the journey. And it's just eating and eating and eating and eat the tree of God's right down to a stubble. Then will that tree ever live again? But it looked a hopeless case. But God said, I will restore, said the Lord. All the years that the caterpillar ate, the palm worm, what they ate off, I'll bring back to its power again. Listen to what Brother Bram said. What the Lutheran left, the Methodist eaten. What the Methodist left, the Pentecostal eaten. And what the Pentecostal left, so and so eaten. Just on down, on down, on down, on this, and one with this, and one with this, and one with this, and one with this, till it faded out into just a bunch of isms. That's what's happened to the church world. They ate away, ate away, ate away. Now remember, Luther was a man of God. But after the man of God come with the word of God that was quickened for that hour, when the next piece of word came on the scene, those same Lutherans who were not the true Luthers, denominated and refused to move further in the light.
Yes,
yes. You're here today because you walked in the light.
That's right.
Amen. They did not walk in the light. They refused to move any further. They got to the certain part of the scripture and they believed the just shall live by faith. The elect was sealed in. The rest of the world start believing the just shall live by faith when it was done.
Right.
Hindsight's always 20/20. They look back at what Luther thought and taught. And then they said, let's now denominate around this. And they denominated around Luther's just shall live by faith. And even though it was the real Holy Ghost given revelation for the hour, right, they died right there with that same word.
Amen.
Because by that time, God had moved to sanctification. Not only being justified. See, I love the way. See, when God moves, he doesn't throw away. He builds on. By the time he finished with Luther, Luther went on and died. The word moved on.
Amen.
Wesley steps on the scene and says, not only shall the just live by faith, but there's also a sanctification process. He didn't denounce Luther. He believed that.
Right.
And all the Lutherans stood up and said, this is our church. This is our denomination. This is what we teach here. If you're going to teach that, you got to go. They didn't want the word. See, you don't understand how important it is for you to be sitting here today.
Amen.
Think about your life. Think about your walk. Think about where you come from. Think about what God's done with you. You are here today because you walked in the light as you saw the light. You did just what the Wesleyans did to Luther. You walked in the light. Wesley come on the scene and he preached the just shall live by faith and sanctification. Pentecostal steps on the scene. After Wesley goes away, they said, we better cabbage down on this. Now we've got God. What was it? It was the darkness following the light. The light had already come. And the seal, the sea, the children of God were already sealed in. Brother Branham said a revival only lasts about 3 years or so. All the real came in, and then after it was all done, hindsight 2020, they started looking and said, you know what? Wesley was right. What did the Catholics do? Every time they found a saint of God, they'd kill him. Then after they kill him, they go find out years later they were a good person, so they didn't go and dig him up. And make him a saint and throw the bones of the priest out. Man has always missed God. They can never see what God's doing. They always look at where God was, what he's been doing, where he's been. Hindsight. Everybody can. Brother Childers told us years ago. He said, you know what? They don't believe in the changing of the soul, but give it a few years and they'll all believe it. But by the time they get it, it's just another doctrine. It's just something, another head knowledge thing to try to help them out. The real believers already had it. The real believers have been living it for years. I ain't worried about changing the soul. That's the last thing I talk about. Don't even deal with it now. But now, do you realize there's a changing of the soul now? Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. We won't have to read it. Don't turn there. He just basically said, I'm going to restore. It's the same Holy Ghost. But in every age, the Holy Ghost was doing different things. See, the thing is, you got to understand what God's doing. What God's doing with you. What God's doing with your life. Because he's not going to do the same thing with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost didn't do the same thing for everybody in every age. Luther was just to live by faith. That's all he quickened. That's all the word allotted. If that was all we had today, you'd starve to death. If we came here every service preaching the just shall live by faith, y'all would get tired and go somewhere else. Because there'll be something, a deep calling to the deep that's going to need more than that. Pentecost restored the gifts, and they were great, and they were fine, they were great, and dying. But the same deal. They only could go so far. Don't have to read it. Revelations chapter 1. He's talking to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Verse 4, John to the seven churches which is Asia Minor. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and who is to come. From the seven spirits which are before his throne. God was getting ready to build a bride body. Those seven spirits are these seven stars. And it says it in there. The seven stars are the seven messengers. Those seven angels, those messengers were there. They were placed there by God to bring word for the day. For each day. And none of them could go to any other age and do any other thing because they had just their part. You know why that angel that was standing behind John revealing all these things to him and explaining all the things. You know why John said that was, Brother Branham said that was that seventh messenger? Because he had the fullness of the word.
Right.
He knew the whole book.
Amen.
He could go and explain to John, John, this is this. John, this is that. John, this is this. He knew the ages. He knew the messengers. He knew the falling away. He knew the restoration. He knew everything. He knew so much, John turned around and thought it was Jesus. He bowed down and said, oh, and he said, oh, get up. Get up. Don't do it, John. I'm just one of the brothers. I'm just the seventh angel. I know all these things because I'm the one that come back with restoration.
That's how it all ties together.
Amen.
Now, each age just took a dip into the Holy Spirit until he got here. See, Jay was talking about the four stages of going in, and Jeremiah was talking about four stages of a coming out. And that's why I started looking at this message. I said, oh, here we go. Yeah. Okay, Brother Branham said over here in question and answers, just the last part of it says, you see, each one of those ages only took a dip into the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Oh. Yes. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down. No messenger to the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself in his fullness of the baptism. Amen. But at the end of the age, as it always ends up on the others, we find there that there's a messenger sent. And all the scriptures and all things are to be placed in their place like that. Then the rapture can come for the church. Brother Brenham was telling us the messenger comes to the end of the age. At the end of every age, there another messenger came. Well, when Brother Branham came on the scene, there was another messenger. Because remember, the ministry of Malachi 4 come to do two things.
Right.
And this is where Jeremiah was hitting at the end of service. He said, there's four stages to life.
Yeah.
There's four stages to death.
Right.
So there's got to be four stages to life.
Yes, sir.
And that fourth stage was one that we needed to understand, because that's where we're going to get the baptism for today, our day. I'm not looking at the just shall live by faith and getting a birth off that. I'm not looking at sanctification and looking at and getting a birth off that. I'm not even looking at the restoration of the gifts. People are majoring on gifts and signs and wonders, and I'm a believer in it. Oh, it's part of it, but it's not the major part of it. Brother Branham got to a place in his ministry. He said, I got to just stop all this stuff, and I got to give my total, I got to give all my time to the work of the ministry, to the Word of God, because the Word of God was what God was going to quicken.
Amen.
Healing, he's already done. He's done that since 1906.
Yeah.
Tongues and signs and wonders, we've had that. When you hear people talking too much about signs and wonders, I wonder.
Yeah.
Right.
I said, well, what about that fourth stage?
Yeah.
What about that last group?
Yeah.
What about the Word?
Amen.
What about the one that's going to get the dead up?
Right.
We're not going to get the dead up by healing. And they spend so much time talking about, oh, we did this, and I'm not against it. Please don't misunderstand me and think I don't believe in signs and wonders. I pray all the time. I pray God touches us all the time. I look for healing all the time. I see healing all the time. But that is not where my major is. That's just the third step to the ministry. Because when Brother Branham got to that fourth step, he forgot all about those babies. He forgot all about the sicknesses. He forgot. Jesus got that way.
Amen. Amen.
He got that way in his ministry. He finally got to a place, I got to give way to the ministry. Yeah. You know, healing the sick and doing all the things is fine.
Right.
Food to the hunger and tax paying out. Yeah, that's all fine. But Jesus got to a place where he had to start speaking hard.
Yeah.
He started speaking straight.
Yeah.
When he got to that third pool, there was no more friends.
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
Every one of them did. Luke 17:30, even though shall it be in a day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Right.
Listen to what Brother Branham said. The church will come through justification, through Luther, through sanctification, through Wesley, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. The baptism for your day. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and the Pentecostals, and go right on into the perfection of the Son of Man.
Right.
Woohoo!
Yes.
There's that fourth one.
Yes.
What is the Son of Man? It's the Word made flesh
yes.
in its fullness.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
That's him. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that made way for the Holy Ghost himself. He said, and go right into the perfection of the Son of Man. That's when husband and wife will be the self-same persons. God will be so manifested in his bride, his church, till they will both be the same.
Amen.
They are one. Now you see where we're at? This baptism that we're dealing with right now is just not a restoration of the gifts. It's just not justification and sanctification. This is Christ himself, God's own life in his people. Oh, and then I got him over there in the Philippines telling me, well, now we're past the bride. We're in the groom now. But God didn't want to go back to groom. He wanted to be a bride, but he wanted the bride to be one with him in such a way that when you see me, you see the Father. That's the oneness that God's been after the whole time through. He didn't want to just be groom. He was already groom. He didn't want to dwell alone. He didn't just want to be masculine. He wasn't even complete just being masculine. Even when he created Adam and Eve, Adam, when he first created him, was both masculine and feminine. And that was a oneness that God had with Adam. But even in that state, Adam was not complete because Adam was not satisfied just being one with Eve in the physical. Adam wanted a bride. He wanted a wife. He wanted the fellowship. He wanted to be able to hold hands with her. He wanted to be able to walk through the wilderness with her. He wanted to share everything with him. So when God created Adam and Eve, he made them one, just like we were one in him, and we were made in his likeness. Adam and Eve were in his likeness when they were one. And that's like we were in his likeness when we were one with him. But God wasn't satisfied, neither would Adam, with being one with himself. God wanted a bride. God wanted a wife. God wanted to separate his masculine from his feminine. He wanted to be a husband.
Amen.
Amen.
Wasn't even happy until he got her. And now they're telling me now that we're going all the way back to Adam. I don't want to go back to Adam. I want to be Eve. I want to be the bride. But I want to be so one with him that when they see me, they see him. Don't take away my feminine role.
Adam and Eve will never be.
Adam and Eve will never be one in natural again.
No, sir.
Once he separated the masculine from the feminine, he did that until he put them separate. He could not even be a fellowship with them.
That's right.
He was still alone.
Yeah.
Amen. Adam was alone when Eve was in him. And it's not good that man dwells alone. It wasn't good that God dwelt alone. God could dwell alone without all this that he's done. But he went through all of this to get us to a place where he can get a bride to take back to the kingdom with him. I think sometimes we get so smart we get dumb. I think we need to just stay with what Brother Branham brought. Say it like he said it. Stay within the prophet's message and we'll be fine. But when we try to get too spiritual, try to get too much in there, you go into a ditch.
Amen.
The same one, the corner and the capstone is one and the same. And I'm not going to say any more about that. Colossians 1. He's the head of the body. And he is before all things. Verse 17. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. God wanted preeminence. You know God had preeminence in his bride the whole time? In every age. He didn't have preeminence in the black. But he had preeminence in the bride. Anywhere the light turned on, the bride went to it. It's like a moth. We just go to it. We go to the light. If it's a little light, we run to it.
Amen.
The more light God shows us, we run. That's how God directed us.
Amen.
That's how God built the body. He used his word to build his body.
Amen.
He used his light to draw us.
Yes.
And we, as the bride, could not refuse his light, but couldn't help but to come to the light because of who we are. And when there was a little light, the bride came to him.
Yep.
When there was more light, the bride came to him. At the fullness of time, when the full revelation became available to the bride, the bride came to it.
Amen.
And that's why you can't even feel bad about someone who can't see it. If they can't see it, they can't see it. Because remember, at the end time, the church world is going to end up in total darkness. They're not going to have any light. Oh, and when I say they don't have any light, they won't have any revelation. Because if you don't have revelation, you don't have light. And they got a lot of word, but they don't know what to do with it. But the bride moved out of the seventh age and moved into the eighth day in perfect revelation. Notice, I thought about this Wednesday night, or when I listened to the service in the masterpiece. I know Jay and Jeremiah are both familiar with this. Notice here, the life that was in the husk, in the stock, and in the tassel, in the huck, all in the husk, all gathered into the seed. And the life that was in the stock went on and went to make another. Justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
amen.
Jeremiah, made a way for the Holy Ghost himself to come right down in perfection, back to the Word again, to manifest itself.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost of 1906 made a way. The restoration of the gift made a way for the Holy Ghost himself to come down here. That's why we're so special.
Amen.
We're sitting here with all the word.
Yes.
We can talk anywhere in the book.
That's right.
We don't have to skip chapters.
No.
If it's something that doesn't apply to us, we know it.
That's right.
If something that types out, we know the type.
Yes.
We can read over in Psalms and read about us.
Amen.
We're here now. 1906, Holy Ghost has made way for the Holy Ghost himself.
Amen.
So the baptism for your day is the full word of God laid right before you.
That's right.
And the bride cannot help but to receive it. We couldn't help. You couldn't help but receive this. You were ordained to receive it.
Yes,
you were made to receive it.
Sir.
You had a deep calling to the deep, and you wouldn't stop looking till you found it.
Right.
Because you were looking for your baptism.
Yeah.
I walked in the Pentecostal door, apostolic door, and I tried their baptism, but it didn't taste right. It needed something else.
Ah.
It needs a certain water. It needs a certain light. It needs a certain condition.
Right.
And I wasn't satisfied, so it didn't hold me, and I had to move on and look somewhere else. And while I'm trying to look somewhere else, not even knowing, God was pulling me the whole time. Not even knowing about a prophet. Not even knowing about a restoration. Not even knowing about a message. I walked right into it.
Amen.
That's the way it's happened in every age. Luther didn't just say, you know what, I'm Luther, I'm going, and I'm going to do this. No. Luther backed into that thing. Luther didn't even know if he had enough God to even be saved. He prayed every night that God would save him. But he was so much God that everybody in that age had to hear his voice.
Amen.
And you are so much God that everybody in this age has to hear your voice.
Amen.
Because there's only one voice. That's the only where you're going to find him. It's right in his people.
Amen.
The baptism for today is come under full word.
Amen.
Not under signs, not under wonders, not under gifts.
No.
Full word. And you got to find where full word is preached before you can receive full word. What is the true evidence, Brother Branham asked? Jesus said that you believe on that I am he, and he's the word. Why didn't they get it? Why didn't the Jews get it? They were religious. They were righteous men. They were good men. They were holy men. And they were all kinds of people. But to whom is predestinated to hear the word? And how do you know whether it's the word? Each one says this. It's the promise of the Bible being vindicated of that age that you are and that you come back to where the Holy Spirit is. The very vindication that you're here, the Holy Spirit has brought you here to this day, this word, this message. That's the baptism for your day. Now, these acts, Malachi 4 and all this, and Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He remains forever the Word. The Word made manifest. That's exactly what he declared. The prophets. A prophet. Now listen to this. I thought this was pretty good. A prophet doesn't only mean a seer or foreteller. It means a revealer of the word that's written.
Amen.
Are you a revealer of the word that's written? Is your life the very revelation of the word that's written? Oh, my goodness. The prophet, the seer, isn't just a man. The seer is the age. We all see. It means a revealer of the word that's written in his own life. His own works reveals and vindicates the word of that day. Like Noah built an ark, Moses down there, whatever more. And any prophet, the promised word for that hour. If you are the manifestation of the prophecy of this hour, then you are seer. That's you, the fullness of the word. That means you come to the word for your day. I'm running out of time, but Ezekiel chapter 37, dry bones, four stages. Ezekiel chapter 37, 1-4, won't read it, but just to tell you the stages, Shanu, that's tissue. I looked it up in the dictionary for those of us who didn't know. Tissue, uniting muscle to bone. Flesh, what's the second one? That soft substance. Consisting of muscle and fat. Skin was the third. That's a layer of tissue forming the natural outer covering of the body. And there's one more.
Amen.
Breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Air taken in or expelled from the lungs.
That's right. Amen.
That's life. Fourth stage is life. You have not gone far enough just going to Pentecost. Your Pentecostal birth is not enough for the hour we're living in. You need to have a birth for this day. You need to have a baptism for today. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost today is receiving the full word of God that's laid. That's the only proof, church. If you can walk away from here and go find some other church and be satisfied with that, then you've never received a birth for this day. If you can sit at home, when the word of God is right in front of you, then you do not receive the word birth for your day. If you can turn this down, then you have not received the word birth for your day. You can't get this and lose it. If you ever get it, it gets you. You say, well, people leave her all the time. Yes, they do. It proves one thing. It proves that I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm still where the word is.
Amen.
They're still wondering if we're still holding church. Yes, we're still holding church.
Yeah.
Will I find faith when I return to the earth? Yes, Lord, you will. I can answer that because I've moved to the fourth stage, and that fourth stage is life. And this life is not just for me, but this life is for the entire body.
Amen.
Justification wasn't just for Luther.
No.
It's for the body. Just like when the world was baptized by water. God baptized the whole world under Noah.
Amen.
Sanctified the whole world under the blood of Jesus Christ. Why do you think God is doing some little piddly thing like just looking after one little person? God's looking at a body. He's not just giving you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's bringing life to the entire body. It took the Son of Man to bring resurrection on the scene.
Yes.
And it takes the full Word of God to bring the Son of Man on the scene.
Amen.
And when Jesus was standing here as the Son of Man, he said, I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
This bride is now on her feet, and she is the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
This baptism is not only going to quicken us, but it's going to quicken every part of the body.
Amen.
And bring us all together. Life comes in four stages. Brother Branham said it. I ain't going to read it. Matthew chapter 24, and I got to close here. I got to get out of here. Matthew 24. As the lightning comes from out of the east and shineth even into the west, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. He started in the east. And that Son of Man is ending in the west. Brother Branham said, contrary to what people believe, they say, well, he's over in the Philippines now, and that's fine, good, I hope he is. But Brother Brown said, when he leaves the West, he goes back East. I'd advise you to count yourself as part of the West. And it wasn't the islands and the land that Brother Branham was talking about. It was the message. And since we've had our prophet, and since he's come and gone, and there's not going to be another prophet.
No, there will not. He went to the West Coast.
He went all the way as far west as he could go.
Yes.
That prophet covered everything. Luther's message just wasn't over there in England, over there where they were, Germany.
Right.
It wasn't just over there. That was Luther's message for the entire world.
Right.
Wesley's message for the entire world. Pentecostal's message for the entire world. The restoration of the Word and the birth for the bride is for the entire world.
Amen.
Not for a location.
Right.
I got the quote where he said, we've gone as far as you can in the West. I'm not going to read it. Read it yourself. There's a man that can turn on the light. You must receive every word. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. We follow the Word. If there's a little word, we follow that.
Amen.
If there's a lot of word, we follow that. And every age had a birth. The Holy Ghost did the same thing in every age.
Yes.
Quicken the Word.
Right.
Whether it was a little or a lot, quicken the Word.
Right.
When it got to the end time, all he did was quicken the Word.
Yes.
When the books were opened and the seals were ripped off and he sent them down his Word, that gave the Holy Ghost something to quicken.
Amen.
And he quickened that to us just like he quickened everything else.
Right.
Your baptism of the day is the fullness of the Word in us. We have come to the time, according to Romans chapter 11, of the fullness of the Gentiles. We're here. He says, until the fullness, we're here. The Gentiles are full. The Word is here. The church is back in its fullness. What is the new birth? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church. You shook a hand. You done something different. You said a creed. You promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, he is the Word that's revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is a revelation that the church was built upon. He's always building on revelation.
But he only gave a revelation a little bit at a time, depending on what age it was in. But now that you come to the end time, we got the fullness. We got the fullness of the word on our hands now. And the baptism for today is to receive every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. That's the proof. No other evidence is acceptable.
That's right.
I don't care how good you are, how clean you live. If you turn down the word of God, you're as dead as could be. But if you can receive every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, you are the bride for the hour that we're living in. You say, I don't understand everything. Don't have to. Just receive what God gives you. Because God's going to give you one thing. He might give me something else. Somebody might sit up and say, oh, I got my new birth on this. And somebody said, I got my new birth on that. Somebody said, I got my new birth on this. It doesn't matter. Just get your new birth. It doesn't have to be the same thing that happened to me. Oh, when my heart started, children turned back to the fathers, that was me. I know that. But it doesn't have to be you. You can be Luke 17:30. You can be Revelation 10. You can be whatever. Whatever scripture. Because once he starts revealing himself to you, he won't stop until he gets you out of here.
Amen. Amen.
That's why we love what we love. That's why we are the way we are. That's why we press and keep pushing. Because we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost for our day. And that's the fullness of the word. It hasn't changed the Holy Ghost. It's just we have more word available to us. And now that the word's here, God has given us something that we can use to get the rest of the dead up. He has breathed life into the body.
Amen.
You say, how do you know? He's done it here.
Come on.
It's already started.
Right.
He's already started breathing life into the body.
That's right.
And he won't finish until he gets the bride up. She is on her feet, Don.
Yeah.
She is definitely on her feet.
Yeah.
She knows what it is.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
When you get a group of people together,
right,
who can look all the way back,
yes,
and see what it is,
yeah,
then that rapture can go.
Amen.
Not come, can go.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word this morning. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost that's come in the hour that we're living in. Lord, you opened yourself up in such a way that we now know clearly who we are. We know clearly why we're here. And we've accepted your word. We've let your word in our hearts in such a way that, Lord, Satan is locked out. And it doesn't matter what happens to this house now. It's too late. It's already done. It's a finished work. And this bride is on her feet. She knows what it is. We're getting stronger every day. Recognizing that we've received the full word of God. That's given us everything we need to get a body change. I don't need another prophet. I don't need another message. I don't need another quote. You have given us everything by sending William Branham. And now that we're on our feet and know what it is, Lord, we're helping others to find their way as well. Let this congregation continue to eat your word and continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Son of God until we get out of here. Touch those that are sick, Lord, and just continue to bless this church. Continue to help us, Lord. There's many fallen away, but Lord Jesus, you're still here. And as long as you're here, Lord, we're happy with that. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for the word. This isn't getting old to me. This is renewed day by day. And Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to be able to share my knowledge with the body here. Help us to stand strong and stay on course and to fulfill the word that you placed before us, Lord. It won't be long now. Thank you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Can't you see why I'm happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord. Those stages, they only come to help this bride. Now all we got to do in the hour that we're living in is just accept what God's already done. If you can receive that, that is the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you. Come back tonight, 7 o'clock for Bible study. Continue to pray for the upcoming meetings. Brother Tony or Drew Bisa will be here. And he is going, and I've been talking to him a little bit, and so he's looking forward to it. And then pray for Easter services. You all will have it here, but I'll be on the other side of the globe doing whatever God has us to do.
Amen.
7 o'clock tonight. God bless you. Can't you see why I'm so happy? For I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Come on up, voices.